Our message today is going to be taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, I'd like very much, for you to turn to this scripture. I want you to see it. I want you to read it. I want you to mark it in your Bible. I had a little trouble deciding what title to give for this message. I thought about calling it The Heart of the Gospel, the very heart of the gospel, for that's exactly what it is, the very heart and essence of the gospel. But let's call the message Christ our Passover, for that's what the text declares, Christ our Passover. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul said, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, if you listen, you'll learn something today. Now, nearly all of you are somewhat familiar with what is called the Lord's table. We call it the Lord's table. We call it sometimes the Lord's Supper. And some people call it communion. In other words, the pastor and the people gather together at a certain time to observe what they call communion, or the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper. And the deacons and elders are there in their proper places, and the people are in their proper places. And the table is prepared with bread and wine, which is served to the people. The preacher breaks the bread, prays over it, gives it to the people, then distributes the wine after prayer, and they take the bread and the wine, and then a hymn is sung, and they go home. Now the question arises. Here's the question. What mean ye by this service? What's the reason for this? Why are you doing this? Why the bread? Why the wine? Why the solemn assembly? Why the Lord's table? Why communion? Why the Lord's Supper? What do you mean by this? What's the reason for it? Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, Moses posed this very question, this very problem. He, after serving the Passover, he commanded the people of Israel to eat the Passover lamb once a year. And he said, "Now, it shall come to pass that when your children shall say unto you, 'What do you mean by this service? Why are you doing this? Why do you observe the Passover? Why do you slay the lamb? Why do you eat the unleavened bread? Why do you eat the lamb?' Then you are to say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over us in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.'" In other words, when you're observing the Passover, and your children ask you, "What do you mean by this service? Why are you doing this?" Then you're to be ready immediately to respond and tell them what it's all about. "This is the Lord's Passover, who passed over us in the land of Egypt when he smote the firstborn and delivered our houses." Now, when we gather to observe the Lord's table, and our children or others ask us, "What do you mean by this service? Why are you doing this? Why are you keeping the Lord's table? Why are you keeping this Lord's Supper, this communion? What mean ye by this service?" Then what shall we reply? What shall we say? Well, I'll tell the story in four parts. Now, like I said a moment ago, if you listen, be still and listen, you'll learn something. Now, the story is told in four parts. First of all, it begins in Egypt. It begins in Egypt. And if you wish to follow, you can turn in your Bibles to Exodus 12, verse 3 and 4. Now, the people of God, the people of Israel, had been in Egyptian slavery for 400 years. And God sent Moses down to deliver the people from bondage and to take them to Canaan. Moses was sent down into Egypt to deliver the people out of bondage and take them to Canaan. But you know the story. Pharaoh refused to let them go. And even after several plagues, and many of you can name these plagues, the river was turned to blood, and the lice came from heaven, and the flies and frogs and different plagues like that. After all the plagues were brought upon Egypt, Pharaoh refused to let them go. And finally, God spoke to Moses and said to him that the final plague would be visited upon Egypt. And that is the death of the firstborn son. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt at midnight, and I will slay the firstborn in every home, even the cattle on the hillside. And Moses was to tell the children of Israel to take a lamb. Now listen to this. This is where the story begins. This is where the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, communion, this is where it all began. Moses was to tell the Israelites to take a lamb and slay that lamb and roast it with fire and put its blood on the door. And God said, when I pass through the land of Egypt, and I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There'll be death in every home where there's no blood. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The Passover. Now, they were to observe this Passover feast every year at this particular time. Every year. They kept the Passover. They slew the lamb, roasted it with fire, ate its body, so forth. Offered the blood. The Passover. And you see, this lamb in Egypt is a type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John, in John 1:29, pointed to Christ. When John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, pointed to Christ, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, even enthroned, John on the Isle of Patmos said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain in the midst of a throne. So this lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God. And this lamb in Egypt is a type, a shadow, a picture of our Lamb, Jesus Christ. He's the lamb. He's the substitute. Now watch this. If you have your Bible there, look back at Exodus 12 and look between verse 5 and 10. And let's see something about this lamb. That's a picture of Christ. First of all, is a lamb. That's a substitute. That's the innocent dying for the guilty. Secondly, Moses said very carefully, he said, get a lamb without spot or blemish. It's not to be sickly. It's not to have a spot on it or a blemish. That means our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is without sin. Totally without sin. He had no spot or blemish. In him, there was no sin. And then Moses told the children of Israel to take a lamb, a male, of the first year. It was to be in the prime of life. It wasn't to be an old lamb or a baby lamb. It's to be in the very prime of life. And our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, not from old age. He was slain in the prime of life. And then Moses said to the people of Israel, keep the lamb up for 4 days, that it might be tested and tried, and be sure that there was no spot or blemish. Our Lord, in the flesh, lived on this earth for 33.5 years. He was tried by heaven, and tried by men, and tried by Satan, and tried in every way, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And then the lamb was to be slain, had to be killed, even as Christ is sacrificed for us. He died that we might live. By his death we live. And then the lamb was to be eaten. It was to be roasted with fire, and they had exact orders. Each home was to have a lamb. Now, if the home was too small to consume an entire lamb, then two families were to go together. But the lamb was to be eaten, even as Christ is received within. He said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life. Do you see what a beautiful picture this is? Even further, read on. The lamb was to be roasted with fire. There is the suffering of Christ, hanging on that cross, bearing the sins of his people in his body on the tree. The very fire of God's judgment fell upon him. That's the sufferings of Christ. The lamb was roasted. And then the lamb was to be eaten with bitter herbs. That's repentance, sorrow over sin, the bitter herbs. And then Moses specifically said, don't eat it raw. It must be roasted. Christ had to die, and he had to endure the fire of our sin. And he said, Moses said, don't mix it with anything. Don't put any water, gravy, or anything like that with it. Eat the lamb, roasted. Nothing but the lamb. And I'll tell you, when we receive Christ as our representative, as our substitute, Savior, and sacrifice, there are no works mixed with Christ. No human effort, decisions, professions, religion, deeds. And then he said, eat all of it. Don't leave any. Eat it all. You see, you can't have half a Christ. You got to have received the Lord Jesus Christ in all his offices, prophet, priest, and king. You can't have half a Savior. You can't say, well, I'll take him as Savior, but I won't bow to him as King or Lord. No, you'll take him as prophet, priest, and king. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see where the story began? Back in Egypt. Back in Egypt, the lamb. All right, part two. Now, the Jews observed this feast every year. Are you with me? Every year, the Passover was observed. Now, part two of this story takes place in Jerusalem. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. Now, watch this. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born a Jew. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he was circumcised the eighth day, like every Jewish boy. He went to the temple, to the synagogue, and so forth. And he observed the Passover. And here in Luke 22, just before he went to the cross, just before our Lord died on the cross, he gathered his disciples together to observe the Passover, as their fathers had done for many, many years. They were to observe the Passover. He kept the Passover. He said, you go and prepare the upper room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples. So when the master and the disciples gathered about, people have the picture called the Last Supper. This is the last Passover. Certainly wasn't his last supper. The last Passover. And when they were sat down, he took bread, and he gave thanks. And when he had broken it, he said, now he didn't take a leg of lamb. He didn't take a, he took bread. And when he had broken it, he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat it. And this do in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup of wine and he held it up. And when he had prayed, he said, this is the new covenant, New Testament, in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink it. Drink ye all of it. And this do in remembrance of me. Now, this is the last Passover. No more types, no more pictures, no more patterns, no more Passover, no more lamb slain. For here sits the Lamb of God. Here sits the ultimate, the supreme, the great sacrifice. Here sits the sacrifice of which all the others were but pictures. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And he takes the bread. No longer do we slay an animal or slay a lamb. This is the reason. The lamb has been slain. But he takes the bread. And he says, this bread represents my body, my broken body. It's broken bread. Now you eat it in remembrance of me. And this wine represents his pure blood shed for our sins. And this is what he said. You eat the bread and drink the wine and do it in remembrance of me. Now what's this statement? Our Lord said, and this is what he said it twice. This do in remembrance of me. This do. Why do we change it? It's so simple. This do, not something else, simple bread and wine. That's all. Believers gathered together. No processional, no uniforms, no candles, no fancy dress. None of the ritualism. Just here's bread. And he break it. And he said, this is my body. And here's wine. Drink it. This is my blood. Represents it. Now this do. Not something else. Do this. Very simple. And do this, he said, in remembrance of me. He didn't say do it as a sacrament in order to be saved. He didn't say this bread and this wine will forgive your sins and cleanse you and make you whole. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say this do in order to be forgiven, this do in order to be saved. He didn't say this do as a church fellowship supper as evidence of your unity. He didn't say wait till everybody's walking the straight and narrow and observe this supper. He didn't say this do to show your worthiness. He said, listen, this do in remembrance of me. Of me. And that's what we do. Jesus Christ is our appointed lamb. In Egypt, there was an appointed lamb described definitely by God. And we have a lamb, appointed lamb, the surety of the covenant, the Lamb of God. And then he's our incarnate Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a body. He couldn't have died had he not been made flesh. He said, a body thou hast prepared me. Then he is our righteousness. We remember him as our appointed lamb, our surety, our incarnate Redeemer. We remember him as our sin offering. We have an atonement. And that atonement's Christ. And he's our risen justifier. And he is our ascended Lord and mediator. Now do you see why I say this is the very heart of the gospel? Scripture says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Scripture says he's led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. The Scripture says, I've given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I wish I could get across to you this one point. There are two words to be learned if we would learn the gospel. And one is the word substitution. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The other word is satisfaction. Jesus Christ, because of who he is, he's the Son of God. He's God incarnate. He's God in human flesh. Was able to bear all the sins of all believers of all generations and satisfy a holy God. He died in order that God may be just, holy and righteous, and yet the justifier of all who believe. He fully satisfied the law. The law is satisfied. The law has no charge against us. That's what Paul said in Romans 8. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ has justified us. Who can condemn us? There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Fully paid. The law is fully satisfied. Justice demands are fully met. The debt is fully paid. That's the gospel. And that's what Christ said. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Now this do in remembrance of me. Part 3. The Apostle Paul, now this last Passover was observed between Christ and his apostles. And then he instituted the Lord's table. Now then, part 3. The Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles, delivered the supper to the early church. If you take your Bible and open to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29, you'll see this. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I received from the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. What I'm delivering to you, I got from the Lord, straight from God. The Lord gave me this to give to you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You see, what I'm doing today is the same thing Paul did then. He emphasized the bread, the wine, and the reason. This do in remembrance of me. Afterward, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and he didn't say once a month, or every quarter, or every Lord's Day, as often, or whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. Now, that's important. You show his death till he comes. I can't think of but two ordinances. I can't find but two ordinances given to the church in the New Testament. And both are pictures of his death. Baptism and the Lord's table. Both his death. Now, there's several key words in this 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. And let me give you two or three of them. First of all, the bread. The bread. Now, breads are common. Why did the Lord use bread to represent his body? He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. Bread's very common. And bread's very important. And Jesus Christ was made flesh. Common, ordinary, everyday flesh. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He became a man. Yes, he's God. Very God of very God. But he became a man. Was clothed in human flesh. And the bread is very common in revealing the very common, ordinary flesh in which Christ was clothed. And then secondly, the bread is unleavened. That's right, unleavened bread. Leaven is a type of evil. And there was no evil in Christ. He's perfect. And that's why we use unleavened bread, because it properly typifies our Lord Jesus Christ, properly shows forth his perfection, his holiness, unleavened bread. And then the bread is broken. It's not served whole, it's broken. That means his body was literally broken, bruised for us. And then the bread is eaten, taken within. You see, salvation is not giving mental assent to some facts. It's literally to receive by faith Christ in your heart. And then the wine. Wine is used. Now, unleavened bread. It is bread, common flesh. It is broken. Christ's body was broken. It is unleavened. It does not spoil. It lasts for weeks and months and months and months. Christ is pure. He has no sin. And it's eaten. Now, the wine. You see, wine is represents his blood. First of all, it's separated from the grape. The grape is crushed. And the wine comes from the grape. The juice comes from the crushed grape. And our Lord was battered and bruised and suffered, and his blood was shed. Came from his body like the juice from the grape. And then wine is pure. And it needs to be pure to represent the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is holy. His blood is pure. Pure. He is without sin. And then the wine is received within, as Christ is received within. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. It's to receive Christ literally within me. Not just to walk an aisle or shake a preacher's hand or say a few words or go to the pool. It's by faith in sincerity with the heart to believe the gospel and to receive Christ. And then he said, do it in remembrance of me. This tells us who's to take the table. You know, for a preacher, who's to come to the table? Who's to come to the supper of the communion? Well, you can't remember what you haven't learned. He kept saying, this do in remembrance of me. You can only remember what you know. You see that? You only remember what you know. The person who comes to the table of the Lord is the person who knows the Lord. He knows Christ died for him. He knows Christ offered his body and his blood for our sins. He discerns, he judges, he understands the sacrifice of Calvary. He has believed it. It's in his heart. And every time he comes to the table of the Lord, he remembers it. He likes to remember it. He rejoices to remember it. Because he lives by that faith. Oh, that's part four. Part 1 starts in Egypt, the Passover. Part 2 in Jerusalem, the institution of the Lord's table. Part 3, Paul delivers it to the church, the early church, 2,000 years ago almost. And part 4 is when you and I assemble together to observe the Lord's table. And we follow our Lord's command. I try to, at the church where I'm pastor, this do. This do. The bread, the unleavened bread. And the wine. This do. Don't add anything to it. Don't do anything fancy. Just do this. And do it in remembrance of me. We come to the table of the Lord with solemnity. Solemnity. It's a sacred, precious, wonderful time. But we come with joy. Not a funeral, it's a feast. We have a high priest so that we can come bold into the presence of God. We have an atonement. We have a mediator. We come to the table conscious of our sins. And we say, bread of heaven on thee I feed. For thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may my soul be fed with that food and living bread.